Ask you if you would please turn once again in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul writes in verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. Once again this morning, I would like to spend time on this fourth verse that we began looking at last Sunday. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Last week, we saw how this was attached to even the previous verse, that He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, and that blessing that is ours in Christ in the heavenly places has to do in particular, primarily, with the ability to distinguish between right and wrong, good and evil, that which is heavenly versus that which is demonic. And that this is attached then to this concept that He has chose us in Him before the foundation of the world in order that we would be holy and blameless before Him in love. Now, believing as we do in the plenary verbal inspiration of Scripture, that means that we believe the plenary, the entire book of the Bible is inspired, and we also believe in the verbal inspiration, that each word that's contained in the Scripture is very important to us. We give our attention to each one of the words as well as the phrases, as well as the context in which they are presented. We believe that every statement is full of the deepest, fullest, most vital and important truth imaginable. That we ought to hang on each one of these words. That our souls, our eternal destiny is based on understanding these concepts before God and rightly. And so we dare not skip over them lightly. We come to this phrase, this passage in which the Apostle Paul tells us that He has chosen us in Him before the foundation that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, taking this very seriously. Paul means that it is the purpose of God in Christ for His people to undo, to remove, to rectify completely the effects of sin and the fall of man. This entire season of the year is geared towards making known what Christ came to this earth to do. To overturn, to undo, to remake, to renew fallen men from their fallen condition. It's God's plan. It's the object of His plan in salvation to rectify completely all the results and consequences of that most terrible and disastrous event in all of human history, which was the fall of man. That special disciple of the Lord, the Apostle John, writes in 1 John chapter 3, that for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. That's why He came. He came to destroy that which the devil came to do. The fall was the work of the devil. We read that quite clearly in Genesis 3, that the devil was involved in the fall of man. It was the devil who masqueraded as an angel of light and seduced and deceived the woman, enticing her then to go to and seduce and deceive her husband. And throughout the rest of the Scripture record, what we read of is the effects of the fall on man. How it has made such a wreck of all of life. How there is such a burden attached to our way in life now. That we make such a mess of things. that our mind, our conscience is defiled, and as a consequence, we make so many very terrible and bad decisions that dog us through our entire lives. But Christ has come to undo these works, to undo this terrible wreck that Satan has given to this human race, that he has caused on the human race. Paul explains that the work of the devil is being undone and destroyed so that the people of God who have been reclaimed from their former sin shall be removed from their sin's former effects and most of its consequences. Apostle Paul lets it be made known that the effects and the purpose of God in choosing us in election is in order that we would be holy and blameless before Him in love. Obviously, this is a reference to our sanctification, that holiness would become a part of our lives, that we would do away with sin, we would put sin away. Holiness, that inward quality of purity, that now there would be a purity of mind. As Paul says in Titus, to the pure all things are pure. But to the defiled and unbelieving nothing is pure, but both their mind and their conscience are defiled. They profess to know God, but by their deeds they deny Him, being detestable and disobedient and worthless for any good deed. But we are to be holy. We are to be blameless. There is to be this inward quality of purity and an outward demonstration of it in a blameless life. We are to be without blemish. No putrefaction in our lives. Nothing that speaks, that smells of defilement and corruption. These two terms taken together mean an essential purity or a state of health or a wholeness about us. They mean a life of true and real being without any detracting from its purity. That there would be an integrity, there would be a consistency, there would be a harmony between all the parts of our being when it comes to this dimension of holiness. It means that every part functions as it's intended, working with a harmony towards this end, holiness. To look at it negatively, it's to say that there is no sin, that there are none of the negative aspects of sin. There is no darkness in our hearts and minds. We banish those things. Those things that once used to rule in our hearts and minds. Dark thoughts, impure thoughts, all manner of corruption and defilement, that they would not be present in us any longer. This is to be our destiny. We are to be holy and without blame before Him in love. We are to consider ourselves to always be in the presence of the Lord, that we are to consider ourselves to be before Him, holy and blameless before Him in His presence, coram Deo, before the very face of God. That's how we would live our lives, as if we are living before the very face of God. We are to be in communion with Him. We are to be in fellowship with Him. God's purpose in our calling and election is that we would walk with Him. Not only that we would enter into fellowship with Him, but that we would walk and abide in that fellowship in an ongoing basis. In a continual basis, that it would be the way of our lives. That we should walk in the light of God. When Abraham was 99 years old, we read in Genesis 17 that the Lord appeared to him and he said, I am the Lord God Almighty. Walk before me and be thou perfect. That is really what is meant by salvation. It's the end and the object of it. That we would do away with sin. We are done with sin. We are saved from sin in every respect and every aspect of it. In the beginning, we read that man was created to walk with God. He was created to have this sweet fellowship, this deep communion with God. But the fall came in and interrupted that, bringing this enmity between man and God. Man now came to see God as the enemy. But salvation does away with that enmity between God and man. We are reconciled with God. We are brought back together so that this fellowship, this communion is healed. This rift is done away with. Most of us know something about when there is a rift in a relationship, that someone that we had sweet, deep fellowship and communion with, that fellowship is rent asunder. That something so terrible has occurred that this rift now separates us, and we hurt. We grieve for the loss of that fellowship and that communion. And we wish that this thing that's caused the rift could be fixed, that it could be done away with, that we could enter back into this sweet communion and fellowship with that one that was once so near and dear to us. And that's what our salvation is all about. That God would not allow the rift to continue, but He sent His own beloved Son to pay the penalty for our sin in order that we would be reconciled to God, that the rift is done away with. We know that light and darkness cannot be mixed. We know that, as the prophet Amos says, is it possible that two can walk together unless they be in agreement? You cannot mix light with darkness. You cannot mix right and wrong. You cannot mix good and evil. What fellowship does Christ have with Belial? And so walking before God and being holy and blameless are essentials. This is necessary to our relationship with God. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. We see that just as He chose us in Christ to be holy and blameless, He chose us to be holy and blameless before Him in love. That this concept, this aspect, this love is absolutely a necessary component to holiness, to blamelessness. There is no such thing as holiness and blamelessness without love. The Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 13 that love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. We can only truly conceive of holiness when we conceive of it in terms of love. Love is the opposite of hatred. It's the opposite of enmity. It's the opposite of strife. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Paul is saying in this passage that because of God's sovereign choice and our election and the work of Christ and the Holy Spirit in us, what happens is that sin is removed so that we can appear before God. And not only do we appear before Him, but we appear before Him in love. That there is now this aspect renewed in our relationship with God, that whereby we see God's love to us. And it inspires us to respond by loving Him. Truly standing in front of the great judgment seat of God is a fearful thing. But to be able to appear before Him in love is the greatest comfort we could ever have. That we are covered by the blood of Christ because of the love of Christ. Man's condition by nature is the exact opposite of holiness and love. It is enmity. Enmity towards God, and that enmity towards God works its way out in our enmity against our fellow man. The mind that is set on the sinful flesh is enmity toward God. His mind is not subject to the law of God. Indeed, it cannot be. People do not believe in the judgment of God and the severity of God, and they do not believe in God. They believe in some figment of their imagination because God is a God of judgment and of righteousness and of truth. But the carnal mind does not readily accept these things because it is at enmity with God. It hates all truth. It rejects all truth. It will not accept that truth. Rather, it demands that God loves them, if there is a God, because He ought to. And so we see over and over again, people, when they go through hardships and difficulties in their lives, shake their fist at God because they believe that God is being unjust towards them. That it's wrong for Him to act towards them in such a way as there is this severity. The carnal mind does not readily accept the reality of the severity and judgment of God because it has this native distrust of God. It hates everything that has to do with God. But if we are Christians, we must be lovers of God and everything that God is. The Christian not only loves the morality of God, but he loves the God of the morality. He loves everything there is about God. And it shows in his behavior. Do you have to force yourself to live the Christian life, or does it flow from you as something that springs from your soul? Do you enjoy living as a Christian so that all of the various aspects of the Christian life are a joy and a delight to you, or are they a burden to you? Do you wish to be more like Christ every day? The law of God really calls us to love. The law of God is a call to love God and to love our fellow man. Our Lord Himself taught us this when some came to Him and said, "Lord, what is the greatest commandment?" And He said, "To love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. And the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself." His reply is that we are to love and love. The whole object of the law of God is love. And the fact is, the reality is, that the presence of the law of God demonstrates to us how sinful and wicked we are and that we break the law of God. That we love poorly. But the purpose of God's calling and election is that we should become people of this kind of character. That we would love God. That we would love His ways, that we would love the Christian life, that we would love the communion and fellowship that's possible to have with God in Christ. Of course, we'll not attain it to perfection in this life, but it is the goal. The will of God for us is absolute perfection. And though it will not be realized until the life that is to come, it begins now. And it's furthered every day. We are to be holy and without blame before Him in love. We are to be without spot or wrinkle. We need to live in such a way as that no man can bring a charge against us because we live uprightly. And so I ask you this morning, does any of this surprise you? Did you expect something else? That the very first aspect of our election is that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Why must this come first? It comes first because it is God's plan. It is the will of God for you. Even your sanctification, Paul says in his letter to the Thessalonians. God's will for us to be holy comes before His will for us to be happy or anything else. Why? Because God is holy. We must be holy. For without holiness, no man can see the Lord. Will you please bow your heads with me? Father, we thank You that You sent Christ to die for us, and that we have this imputed righteousness, a righteousness which is not our own, but that it was given to us as an act of grace. But that having been set free from the law of sin and death, with which once ruled over us, now You would have us to live holy lives, that we would be cooperative, that we would be active and engaged in living holy and blameless lives. And so we pray, Father, for Your grace. that you would continue to give us that grace by which we are made to be more like your beloved Son in holiness and blamelessness. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.